You're listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fat to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at theobesityrevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Obesity Revolution podcast. I am Sean Mulroney. Follow me on all my social media at I am Sean Mulroney. And we're so happy you joined us today for part two of changing our view of obesity with myself and Carrie Mooney. Carrie does everything, you know, the Obesity Revolution behind the scenes. If you need anything, you reach out to her. She always helps with anything, customer service, anything that you need, she's there. But like I said, you know, that's what we want to do is we want to identify the problem. We want to make sure we're educating, and that's what we're doing. We're educating people that obesity is not all cracked up what it's supposed to be. Just it's not as simple as people think it is. And so we want to inspire. That's what it's about doing, is that you don't have to be perfect to inspire others. You just have to show people how you deal with your imperfections, and that's what we're going about doing. And, you know, we want to make sure that we execute. You know, it's one thing to know. It's another thing to do it. But that's what we're doing, and making sure that we run that full circle and help anybody that we can. Obesity is a big thing. It's a pandemic, a global pandemic at that, and we want to change that. And I think in the first part that you listen to, you will find out. I mean, we just, you know, tore into it. Part two is going to be even greater. And of course, last episode, I left off with a question for Carrie, and we're going to get into that. But, you know, I just want to thank you for all the reviews. I want to thank you for all the comments, the emails, the kind words of everybody that's saying that's listened to it. Just got, you know, a message this week that said, I listened to the podcast and it changed my life. And I just want to thank you. So shout out to that. And we're glad that that's happening and making it possible. But we're going to get right into it. I asked Carrie, you know, at the last episode at the end, I said, you know, is it just, you know, what we eat? Is it that what we do? Is it simple of just doing that everybody tells us what it is? And I left it there. I said, is it that, Carrie? And then you're going to find out her answer right now. We're going to get into it and we're going to finish this with part two. So here we go.
Of course not. And I know that because when I was in school, my best girlfriend at the time, she was obese, and she'd get so mad at me. We'd go to McDonald's and she would just get one little thing. I would have literally a Big Mac, a quarter pounder with cheese, a large fry, a six piece chicken McNugget, sweet and sour sauce and hot mustard, and a large Dr. Pepper with no ice. That's what I would eat in one sitting. And I was 130 pounds.
Say that again.
Was morbidly obese.
Okay.
And we would go to McDonald's after school or whatever. This was in high school. And she would order a fish sandwich and a small fry and a diet soda. And I would have, here's what I would have in one sitting, a Big Mac, a quarter pounder with cheese, a six piece chicken McNugget with sweet and sour sauce and hot mustard, a large fry and a Dr. Pepper with no ice. And she'd go, you pissed me off. How can you eat all that? I don't know. I just did. And I would wolf it all down. And I was 130 pounds. And she was probably, we were in high school, she was probably close to 300. Wow. And so I ate way more than she did. So it has nothing to do with what you're, well, let me rephrase. Back when you and I were kids, Sean, there were very few things with the ingredient of high fructose corn syrup.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now that's in everything because it's way less expensive because it's a chemical. Our body doesn't know what to do with HFC because it is a chemical. Our brain cannot identify it. So it stores it in the fat cells because it doesn't know what to do with it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Back then, there wasn't a whole lot of things with HFC in it. That's why there were so few obese kids.
Wow.
Right?
That's
now,
powerful.
All the kids are heavy. Not all the kids. A lot more kids are carrying a lot more weight on them But that's, you know, that's a conversation for the next segment, I guess, because that's the food industry. We're talking medical industry right now. I'm sorry.
Yes.
But I mean, you know, yeah, it isn't just about what you're sticking in your face. Absolutely not.
No. So here's the thing. That's what, and even here's the thing, Carrie. You remember the time we were at the radio station preparing for the radio show? We were there. And we got a bite to eat. I got a chicken sandwich, and you got you remember, you know what I'm talking about, remember, right? Right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, you explain. Not that the fat guy's going to say what happened.
Okay, so we go to Wendy's, right? Because it was the closest thing.
Correct.
My blood sugar was low. We were starving. I think we'd done two or three shows that day to put in the pipe for later broadcast. And we had to get something. We both had the shakes.
Yes.
So I'm driving. We go through the thing and we both get a chicken sandwich, right?
Yes.
And we get pulled and we decide I'm not going to try to drive and eat because I'm driving your brand new van and I didn't want to make a mess. So we pull over and I don't even think you had yours out of the wrapper and I had already wolfed my sandwich down. You turned around and looked at me. You almost took a bite and you stopped, closed your mouth, looked at me and said, did they give you your sandwich?
You said, it's gone.
I already ate it.
It was like first bite was a half moon. The second bite was a full eclipse. That's what it was like. I mean, but here's the thing. I'm saying is that that's what automatically everybody thinks. Okay. And that, okay. Whenever comparison that to where the same thing of me going to McDonald's, if somebody would have thought that would have been the fat man doing that, not the woman that is just, you know, there, I mean, not the fat that automatically assume out of those two people that fat man would do that. And I didn't. And that's what I have done. And I got one chicken sandwich. That's all I did.
I could have had another one.
Right. And that's what you said, man.
I'd have ordered another one.
Yeah. And that's what, and you know what? And that's what we see is that we don't want to have this contrast or the comparison of people that they automatically think, and it's got to stop.
Yeah.
I want people to say, come up to me and say, man, look at you. Look how you eat, you know, you eat like, you know, automatically that they think that we eat the whole house. And man, I'm not going to have, you know, him come in there and automatically assume, and not the fact that I did. Have I ever overeaten? Heck yeah. Who hasn't?
Sure.
Who hasn't overeaten? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And filled up in carbs, you know what I mean? From, you know, being a carnivore. I mean, I love carbs. Who doesn't love bread? You know what
they're
I'm
delicious.
Saying?
Yeah,
who doesn't love, you know, fresh baked goods? And the thing is that, yes, this is what we do. But what is going on all the way back to what we're doing? We have to change what the medical treatment of us doing and even, you know, coming down to the things that we're going through all the way. Now let me say this too, Carrie. I want to make sure that I do this. I want to, you know, tell everybody out there, I am in no way comparing myself to people that have been discriminated against because of their ethnicity, their gender, their handicap, you know, et cetera. What I am saying is that the exclusion of an entire subsection of people is wrong. Okay?
Amen.
So
amen.
I know this. Listen to me. Civil rights is a great thing. People talked about it. Black people get treated poorly. Okay.
Yes.
I don't care. White privilege is a thing. I don't care what anybody says. You know, black lives do matter.
Absolutely.
And, that's the thing is that the civil rights, what everybody did that they started talking, and the reason how you're going to get change is when people of different opinions start talking. Okay.
Right.
That's how you're going
to
have.
But they have to talk.
They have to use their voice. You have to have a conversation about it. It's like we're doing with the Obesity Revolution podcast. We're creating a conversation to quit assuming that we are fat, disgusting, just like everybody thought back, you know, that, you know, the segregation, you know, of black people, you know, they weren't
allowed to sit back, shut up, and take it.
And exactly. Sit back in the back of the bus. You know what I mean? You can't go to this bathroom. And man, until we got to know them, it is. It's sick. It's disgusting. And that they are human. They have red blood running through their veins just like anybody else.
That's right.
And that's the same thing with us. And I'm not by any means – look how far we've come with the civil rights movement since, you know, Thelma and, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. And we have so much further to go. I mean, you think about it, you know, I've never had to, you know, get pulled over by a cop in fear that I was going to get beaten, right?
But you do get called out when you're standing in a restaurant, though.
I sure do. There you go. I do get called out if you know,
and
don't sit in that chair.
Publicly scrutinized in front of a crowd of people.
And everybody's looking at me. Correct.
That's right.
And then automatically they can't, you know, I can't hide it. I can't hide where I'm at.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the same thing with people that are black. They can't hide that they're black. Okay. And I'm not anyway, think about it. We've come so far. But the fact is that we got so far to go with the black rights. You know what I'm saying? The civil rights. And the same thing with anything that is going on, that the same thing that goes down there. I said, what I'm saying is not comparing that, because listen to me, you live in that. I mean, I'm here, but there's some choices. And regardless of if somebody like that's obese has made bad choices, which we have, and I'm owning it.
Yeah.
Quit judging us and telling us that we're not worth it, and do something about it that we can't do, and then go to the gym, and then we go to the gym and people still make fun of us.
People laugh. That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Fat guy sweating. He's going to break the machine.
Look at him. Yeah. But the machines and the gyms don't fit us anyways.
No.
So why go to the gym whenever you go to the gym? And biggest pet peeve is I see everybody that's ripped and has six pack abs, and you don't ever see a person that has, you know, the ripples, the average, you know, size people. And the thing is that, you know, fat isn't beautiful. I'm not saying. And the thing is accept me for being fat, because I'm Sean Maroney that has fat. I'm not a fat person named Sean.
Right.
I have fat. I have a fingernail. It doesn't make me a fingernail. I have hair. It doesn't make me a hair. And that's the same thing with anybody that's obese right now. Do not write them off. Just like somebody that comes up or now, mind you, on the other side, there's great police officers. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can't. There's bad apples in every group. Don't get me wrong. But the prejudice is, and everybody in the world has prejudice. I don't care when it's just where you draw the line at.
Lookism is a thing. Sexism. How about the war on women? Hello.
That's what I'm saying. You know, from Suffragette City, glad for all that. To where we are now, we cut so far for women's rights, because, you know, here it is women were supposed to take a back seat and go two steps behind, you know, the man and treated wrong.
Here's one for you. How about a woman who has terrible issues with her reproductive system and tries to go in and get her doctor to approve a hysterectomy? And the doctor says, well, what if your future husband wants to have kids? Why does a man I don't even know have autonomy over my body?
There's not. And that's
it's a war.
It's a war. But the thing is that, well, you Jess could speak to this like nobody's business, is that infertility. You know, that's another thing, is that somebody that has an infertility problem, women didn't want to talk about that. You know, because it took us 12 years before we had Maddie.
I know.
And so it was like, that was, oh, you'll have kids. Everybody had them cliches. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, oh, you'll have kids someday. Why?
It's and God's even somebody, timing.
All that. And even, one woman said, you know, well, you just need to get over it to Jess.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. It was like, okay, well, she had her five kids. You know, and, it took us a while to have kids. And it took us a year. Well, you talk to us whenever it's been 10 years, and then we'll go from there. And no hope. And see, that's the same thing with all these things, is that this is what obese people live in on a consistent, everyday basis. And that's what I was kind of getting back to this as I was sharing that with you, Carrie and Noah, the other day. You know, we were talking, well, this is my state of being.
Yeah.
You know, I have to be careful on my steps where I walk. OK.
Yeah.
I got to be careful on getting up. You know, I mean, that I don't want to break, you know, an ankle or a knee and just lose weight. Well, wait a minute. What I'm talking about, the now that I'm in right now. OK.
Yeah.
This now that I'm in right now, I am working to get out of it. But what about now? I'm not talking about. Yeah. How am I going to lose, you know, 400 pounds overnight? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, losing this and saying this and telling me this, and then all these things, where the medical down to the seat. Think about the seating. I have no seat. There's no seating for obese people.
Yeah.
Nothing, Gary. Nothing.
Well, you know, you talked about the MRI machines. What about a scale?
Oh, well, let's
tell
us
about your scale.
Here's the thing with the scale, Carrie. You know, I had to get weighed. The first time I got weighed with Brandon was we went to the truck weigh-in station. Okay. That's where I got weighed. Well, because there's no scales that were accommodating except at bariatric centers, but you had to be a patient in order to use your scale.
Use the scale.
Correct.
Yeah.
So here's what happened. So I had to get a weight, and I did, but we went to the weigh station, and so we pulled up there.
The weigh station for what?
For
what
trucks. For big trucks.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, I get a little pissed. Go
so
ahead.
Anyways, I go up there, and I stand on there, just moved the van off, and I stood there, and that's where I got my weight. That's where it was the first time. So I needed to get a weight. Brandon wanted me to get a weight. You know what I'm saying? This is the first year I lost, you know, that 105 pounds within the 8 months or whatever. And anyways, we were looking for scales. And so when we found one, but they're $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's gonna accommodate me because I need a wider scale, you know, about 36 inches wide because of my lymphedema mass, Herbie. I can't stand.
So you have
on,
to stand with
an A-frame. I'm like that's what I am. I'm an A-frame.
My feet are
so wide. Wide apart,
right?
And I can't get that close because there's scales that do, you know, accommodate 1,000 pounds, but they're like a normal scale.
Yeah, only if you're standing with your feet together.
But I can't. I couldn't do that. So I had to get a true bariatric scale. Okay, and so I got this scale, and when I got the scale, or when Jess started searching for a scale, so I had it, couldn't find it. All of a sudden, lo and behold, she found one on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
and it was a livestock scale. Same exact scale as the bariatric scale, but for $250.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what she goes, I have a livestock scale.
She's so smart.
I know, but the thing is, I'm using a livestock scale because it's okay for somebody to weigh that, but we're here. How are we going to get out of this place if we can't go to the doctor's office? They don't have proper seating, okay? They don't have proper tables for us. We go into the waiting room, the seats have arms on it, and there's nowhere to be found. There's nothing.
And it's a molded seat, typically 24 inches. I don't know about you, but my butt ain't 24 inches wide.
There's no way. And that's the thing. That's what they're looking at us as, Carrie.
Yeah.
And it's got to change the seating. You know, you talked about the food, okay?
Yeah.
You know, you think about everything. There's a McDonald's on every corner, right?
It's all about real estate.
We have two McDonald's in our hometown.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? One here, one across the town. You know what I mean? You do that. Now they have gyms on every corner. You know what I'm saying? You think, well, wait a minute. Why is it that there's more gyms than there have ever been,
yeah.
you know, in our country? And the weight's going up because all it is aesthetics. That's all it is.
It's vanity weight.
It's just about vanity weight. Okay, I want to lose that little chunk. Or, you know, they have that Sonobello on TV that, you know, you want to lose that stubborn fat. You know what I mean? That weight, they say weight-resistant fat. Why is it okay for somebody that's just about 50, you know, 40, 50, 60 pounds, you know, overweight to get that stubborn fat off? But we have stubborn fat, but that's not – we're just fat. We just don't care about ourselves.
Yeah, you're like lost cause.
Yes, and that's the thing.
If you and I were to walk into Sonobello – we should do that as an experiment.
I mean, we should. That would be a great experiment. I mean, seriously, it would be a great experiment. Uh-huh. And that's the thing, Carrie. That's what's got to change. This is a revolution. This is a time to say, listen, doctors, listen, health and fitness, you know, industry, listen, work with us. You know what I'm saying? Don't tell us, don't treat us like what the Biggest Loser did and put them in an environment. You got to be in that environment.
Unrealistic environment.
It is an unrealistic environment. You can't, they're not living it. And then they go and gain their weight back because they're not living in that true environment.
There's no education.
There's none.
No. You know, let me tell you, I was couple of years ago, and you know about this, and I won't name names, I'll keep it vague, but a young lady that you and I know got an open wound. And she wound up having to have surgery on it. And she is obese, or was at the time. And she went to the hospital and they were treating her wound. But their main focus was, you have to lose weight. You have to lose weight. Yes. And she's like, that's not why I'm here. I'm here because of this wound. Do you know the nurses were so hateful to her? What I was on the phone with her while she was crying, she said, Carrie, they won't treat my wound. All they keep focusing on is that I need to lose weight and that I am too fat. And I heard the nurse tell another nurse, get her out of my hospital.
Yep.
And Sean, they kicked her out.
It's sick.
And we called you. And we tried to get a hold of a patient advocate to be her. They wound up kicking her out. My husband and I picked her up in her hospital gown. And before then, I had taken food up to her because they had her on a diabetic diet.
And she's not diabetic.
She is not diabetic.
No.
She's like, Carrie, I need some real food. So I brought her up healthy snacks, fresh fruit, lean meat. You know, I brought these things up to her. They kicked her out of the hospital. And she could only carry what she could physically carry. They would not even let her use a cart. Half of the food that I had bought for her was, I'm sure, by the time we'd left the parking lot with her, had already been divvied up between all of the staff. They treated her horribly, all because she was overweight. They assumed she was a fat slob, and that was why she had this open wound, which had nothing to do with her weight and everything to do with an allergic reaction to something, and treated her as if she was diabetic and she was too stupid to know she wasn't diabetic. Therefore, we're going to do this for you. They didn't listen to her at all. They gave her nothing for her pain. They didn't listen to her and then kicked her out.
She was beside herself.
She was.
I just went out of here. And you know, we were all on the phone with her. And Carrie, I'm disgusted by
and
that.
And you, I'd never seen you put that hat on before. I mean, we talk, we visit, but you on the phone with that official from that hospital.
Yes.
It was an amazing thing to witness.
Wow. Well,
but Carrie, we
have to do that. But here on the other side, we had another thing happening during that same time was with Brad Brewer. Dr. Brad Brewer.
Yes, I remember.
Dr. Brad Brewer, who was morbidly obese. They didn't treat him like Dr. Brad Brewer.
No. But,
you know, who wrote a syllabus for the University of Mississippi.
Right.
And graduated with his doctorate, doctorate.
Yes.
And all of a sudden they never...
Credentials out the wazoo.
And wrote books and did everything, but they did not see him as that. And you know what happened?
They didn't see him for the intellectual that he was.
Nope. They treated him like crap. We had to get him an advocate. And we had to do everything. And that's what the obesity revolution, that's what we stand for, is that we got to affect change. And here's the thing, as we're coming to this close right here, Carrie, I want to say that with Dr. Brad Brewer, who we looked, he was a member of Tor VIP.
That's right.
His fiance reached out to me and we talked. Brad was so smart, funny, just dry as his sense of humor was amazing. He got out of the hospital and we got him whenever he was in that hospital. He was in the hospital, I think, for 60 days. Okay.
Wow.
He lost a lot of fluid because that's the thing, is that fluid. He has lymphedema, all these things into consideration. Because here's the thing, you can cut my lymphedema mass off, but as long when you have lymphedema, you have lymphedema forever. It doesn't
matter.
Forever,
right.
You got to learn how to maintain it and to manage it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, he came home. Was doing fine, and doctors still wouldn't do that. They couldn't even get them in the hospital at one time. They had to take him in a Chevy Tahoe in the back of it because the ambulance wasn't big enough. They had to drag him on a tarp, all that, and just terrible accommodations, just terrible.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so anyways, Brad woke up one day, came out, sat down in his wheelchair, said, man, I'm dizzy and sat down and never woke up again.
Wow.
You know, Carrie?
I know it tore you up.
I'm done.
I know.
I am so done. I feel that I am going through.
That was the first time I had ever. I mean, you've been aggravated. You were really pissed.
And I am, Carrie.
I know.
And the thing is because it's too close to home.
Yeah. You and Brad were close.
I've been there and done that and wore the T-shirt. You know what I'm saying? And then the only thing is that we affect change is that we can't change anything if we don't talk about it and we don't do anything to where people don't start listening to what we have to say as an obese person. You know what I want everybody to do? Is that anybody that's listening to this and comes across this and says, oh, this what the obesity, what is this? Well, here's what it is. Why don't you take a consideration that an obese person didn't just get there by eating like a glutton?
Right.
That's one part.
That's right.
Why don't you look at their past? Doctors, look please, at their trauma. Please. I want to go all the way to the AMA, the American Medical Association. I want to change their way of teaching it obesity, not whenever they're dead, not when they're in the morgue, but whenever we're alive. Treat us and find out what's going down to us. Get down, you know, to the core of what's happening with us, what's hurting us, what have we been through. Go through that evaluation, and then let's discuss why am I doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Don't give me these sort of soft tail answers of that you are just there and you suck and you can't do anything. You're fat, you're lazy, you're disgusting. And you know what? It's got to stop.
It's not glamorous. That's why I believe that's why they're not. Nobody is caring enough to. And obesity has been around for a long time. It's not like it's anything new, but it's not glamorous.
No.
To study it. It's ugly. It's emotional. It's messy.
But look at everything else that's messy. And just because you don't understand. People, we often criticize what we don't understand.
That's right.
It's the easiest thing to do. Well, why don't you get some understanding? Listen, talk to me. You want to find out. People say, well, man, how did you get that fat? I'll tell you. I will tell you.
Yeah.
I got here by bad choices, but you know what? I got here by sexual. Everybody's like thinking, wait a minute. Okay, what is it? Why? You know, you had a bad. Yeah, I did. That's part of it. But, you know, let me tell you about how I was molested for 3 years by a teenage boy in my neighborhood. How about that? Let me tell you when my dad died, because my fat has a story. I said, let me tell you how my dad died. My dad died of cancer, lung cancer, when I was 6. Let me tell you about how I was verbally abused and mentally abused by my stepdad. Let me tell you about the drug, you know, addiction that I got into, you know, the abandonment, that the feel that I didn't feel anything. I got in the wrong crowd, was the wrong crowd. And you know what? Let me talk about all these things that I didn't have anything and any bearing and where I didn't fit. I never fit in. Then let's talk about this. Let's get down to the core, okay? Let's make a revolution about this and say, let's quit doing this and candy coating it. And that's how we got where we're at. We got this way by candy coating things.
Right.
And you know what? It's done. We have to be done, Carrie. We have to.
Tell the listeners about the impromptu conversation you had with that really buff guy at the restaurant.
Oh, well, here's
speaking of, you got to talk.
And like I said,
this is a great story.
And we're wrapping this up, folks, because this is a two part. This is the second part, of course. So anyways, I go into a restaurant. Okay. Line of my business was tornadoes. We were in Texas, matter of fact. And, you know, we talked about Texas being, you know, 30 million people, you know, everybody being obese. Well, I walked into the restaurant and this guy comes out, he's buff, you know, he has one of those Dago tees on, you know, T-shirt, his arms, you know, looking pretty, you know, stout, you know, he comes out and he's just looking at me the whole time. I'm holding the door open, waiting for him. He's looking at me like just, you know, keeps walking and his head, as he's walking, his head just going, what? And I'm like, looking, like made me feel, you know, uncomfortable.
Self-conscious,
I'm like,
what
the heck?
What, I got a boogie? What are we going?
I'm like, I don't know, man. What, you know, here I'm going into Chili's. You know, I got to eat. You know what I'm saying? Well, man, he's going to go in there and he's going to eat the whole thing. You know, oh, man, what do you So anyways, he comes up to me and after somebody went through the door, had a couple guys with me that was traveling with me. And he said, he goes, man, he goes, you're killing yourself. I said, excuse me? He says, man, you should have never let yourself get that way. You need to quit. You know, you need to do something about that. I said, do something about, oh, you mean my weight? Yeah. And he just like really, you know, like, and he had a wife and I think two, you know, they were just two children. I don't know. But, you know, his wife got real red faced. I could tell. And then his children were just there, you know, standing back to the side and sort of they looked embarrassed. And he just tell me, he goes, man, he goes, why would you let yourself get that way, man? And he was just, and people were gathering around thinking that there was going to be a fight. The two guys with me, Anthony and Josh, they were like, hey, Sean, I'm going to beat his butt. I'm like, no, guys, let him go. And anyways, he said, and I look at him, you know, he's like preaching. And I'm like, just listening to him. I go, yeah. I said, well, man, I wish you knew my story. I said, I have a lot to this. I said, I could sit down for hours and tell you. And he goes, no, just he goes, you just eat too much. He goes, you need to, you know, do. And he's like telling me, you know, how. And all of a sudden I'm looking at him as he's talking to me, middle of that stuff. He's taking a pack of cigarettes out of his pocket, taking his lighter out, putting the cigarette to his mouth and lit the cigarette up. And he's talking to me about I'm killing myself. OK.
Wow.
Now, look at this, everybody. Listen, that's such an oxymoron.
Mm-hmm.
Because I said I looked at him and didn't say anything. I said, OK, I'm going. OK. And I stopped. I said, can I say something to you, sir? I said, I didn't come up to you. I said, you smoke cigarettes, right? He goes, yeah. And I said, I never came up to you and said, man, smoking's bad for you. You're killing yourself. I said, you know, the cigarette pack says may cause cancer. You know, I said, my dad died of lung cancer whenever I was six. I said, I never came up to you to do that. Did I?
Mm-hmm.
And I kept on talking. I said to him, I said, listen to me. I said, I don't know why you smoke. I said, it's not my business. I said, you know, your smoke is affecting me because it's coming. Secondhand smoke is worse than regular smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you're giving me that. And I said, whoever you smoke in the car, I don't know. That's even worse. If you smoke and contain, you know, all that stuff. I said, we know that. I said, here's the thing. I said, yeah, I may be killing myself. You know, I said, but as I know now, I'm pretty healthy. I said, I want to lose weight worse than anybody else wants me to. And I said, you know what? I would never approach you and tell you because I didn't even know you.
Right.
And he says, I would never, ever do that. And you know what he did, Carrie? I was shocked. He apologized to me.
Wow.
He says, man, he says, I'm sorry. And I said, I'm fine. I got big shoulders, you know, literally. And I said, please just don't ever do that to somebody else.
Yeah.
Never thinking that I would be doing this, that my life, that as things were progressing, that I was sharing my story because I wasn't sharing my story about my weight at that time.
Right.
I was just doing assemblies in public schools. And I never thought whenever that happened that I would get to where I'm at right now and where I did that, where the elephant in the room, where that all came from. And that's what I am. I'm becoming larger than life.
Yeah.
And I'm addressing the elephant in the room is the title, you know, of my book, which you know well about, which is going to be coming out soon.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Carrie, in close, we have to change the way people look at obesity.
We must.
We must.
Yeah.
We must.
We got to make noise.
We are.
We got to make noise. It's time.
So what's your final thought, Carrie?
I'm reminded of the book, Horton Hears a Who. Do you know how Horton was looking at that little puff?
Yes.
And he couldn't, and everybody, there was a whole community in that little puff, and they were yelling and yelling and yelling, and there was, all they needed was one more small voice for Horton to finally hear the who's. We have to be that voice. Everybody has to lift up their voices. Wow. And I know it's probably a very pedestrian way to look at this, but it is really that simple.
So one little voice to hear the who.
Right. One more, just one more. One more to validate, one more to let somebody know you're not alone, you are loved, you are worthy.
That's
you are good. Worth the effort.
That is
and you
good.
Are worth your own effort.
So guess what? Horton heard to who? Because of another voice.
Right. One more.
We need one more voice. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to join the revolution? Who's going to be the revolution with us?
Yeah.
And you've been treated badly, poorly. You have a story of good or whatever.
We all have a story.
Let's
I think stories are interesting, enthralling, and necessary.
And that's what we want you to do.
Yeah.
We want you to send your story. Where can they send it, Carrie?
Carrie, C-A-R-I, underscore, at theobesityrevolution.com.
I think it's just Carrie at the obesity, not underscore, I think, Carrie.
Oh, it's not an underscore?
Nope, no.
Oh, it's Carrie at. I am so sorry.
That's right.
Excuse me. You're starting like, over. Carrie, C-A-R-I, at theobesityrevolution.com.
You like
I'm
underscore.
So
you're like, I'm underscore.
So
sorry.
Well, that's my Yahoo. It's I Carrie know. Underscore.
Yeah.
Oopsie yeah, doodles. Sorry.
Carrie at theobesityrevolution. C-A-R-I.
Yeah. Or send us a private message
private
through
message.
Facebook.
That's right.
We'll see you there, too.
Yes, we will. So guess what? We need your voice.
We do.
But you know what? You need to validate yourself first before anybody else does.
Right.
So come on. Join
Be
the
brave.
Revolution.
You got this.
We do. We got this.
We got you.
You know, get healthy, stay healthy, whatever you need. It's time. Doctors, listen to me. Please learn how we function, please. Health and fitness industry, seating industry, clothing industry, everybody out there, the Food and Drug Administration, the AMA, we need to do this. And listen, your voice matters.
That's right.
Because you matter. And we got this.
Nothing is going to change unless we create an opportunity for that change.
And that's it's time.
It is time.
It's our time to affect the change. And Carrie, I don't know about you, but this was a good.
It was good. I mean, we could go on and on and on.
And we will. We got other
things. People's batteries on their
yes.
portable units are going to roll out. So
yes.
we got to
come on.
Give these guys a break so they can recharge.
Yeah,
but yeah,
that's
there's
right.
more,
that's
to, come.
More
there's
to come.
There's more to come.
But hey, we love you all. And you are the best part of the obesity revolution.
That's
and
right,
until
brother.
Next time, we love you.
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.